O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You've heard this said probably many times if you ever played any sports. It's not how you play the game, it's whether you win or lose, right? That's how that quote goes, right? No. It's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game, right? I'm going to leave you with another variation on that quote. It has nothing to do with the game, except whether or not you actually play. I'm going to say that again. It has nothing to do with the game, except whether or not you actually play. Because you see, most people are like me. They're cruel and calculating. And they figure out somewhere along the line that if they're not going to win the game, they just won't play. That way you never have to worry about defeat. Right? It's safe. If you never lose, you never have to worry about losing. There's another problem with that though, right? If you never play the game, you never have the thrill of victory. So those who choose to play the game are risking something, right? They're running the risk of losing. They're running the risk of not being victorious. You see, there's something about playing a game, of entering into the game, that is inherently vulnerable. Because we make ourselves open to the opportunity of losing. Right? No one wants to be in the championship game and lose. Right? That's not why you play the game to get into the championship, is it? You play to win. But every time you play the game, you risk losing. You see, entering into something, whether it's a game or a relationship or anything else, waking up in the morning and getting out of bed is a vulnerable act. Leaving the house is a vulnerable act. Picking up the phone and actually answering it is a vulnerable and courageous act, because you never know what's going to happen. One of the most dangerous things you will do today is get in your car and drive somewhere. Sure, it's not season right now, so there's a lot less people on the road, but that doesn't make it any safer. Well, it makes it a little bit safer. We do these things that make us vulnerable every day. But sometimes we have a choice in whether or not we will make ourselves vulnerable, whether or not we will put ourselves out there and play the game, act courageous, say something that's worth saying, do something that's worth doing, stop doing something that is hurtful. Each of these are courageous acts, because we always risk losing something. Today I want to tell you about Joshua, son of Nun. No, that's not N-O-N-E. It's N-U-N, for those of you who didn't read it on the screen or in your Bible. Joshua, the son of Nun, was a disciple of Moses. And I know that word isn't used of him much. In most translations, it'll be apprentice, or it'll be student. But he was a disciple of Moses. Joshua went everywhere with Moses. He saw Moses' face light up when he came out of the temple, of the tent of meeting. Sometimes Joshua's in the tent with Moses and God. So when Joshua was nominated to be among the 12 representatives of all of Israel to go into the promised land and spy it out, we know who we're talking about, okay? He went in, and he went with these other 11 guys, and they saw the giants that lived in that land. This would be like middle schoolers playing basketball with NBA stars, okay? They came back and they were terrified. And Joshua and Caleb listened while the other 10 people gave a report. They're too big, they're too scary, they're too strong. If we go there, we'll die. Let's just go back to Egypt. It was safer there. But Joshua and Caleb act with extreme courage, knowing full well they're giving a minority report. You heard what Doug read earlier. They spoke up and said, "The land is full of milk and honey. Sure, there's big people there, but God has promised it to us. And if we stay with God and are faithful, God will be faithful to allow us to take it over." They give a minority report. And you know how popular it is? Everybody in Israel wanted to kill Caleb and Joshua. You think Twitter's bad? And they could have done it. But Moses and Aaron humbled themselves and cried out and said, "No, don't do this." And then God showed up. And I purposely stopped the reading there. I know it felt awkward reading it that way. Because Caleb and Joshua speak up. And all of Israel wants to stone them and kill them. And then there's a big light at the tabernacle, the tent where God is said to dwell. In a way of saying, listen to Caleb and Joshua. They're the only ones who actually are doing what I told them to. Joshua spoke up when everybody else was saying the opposite thing. That takes courage, even if you've never done that. And then later on, they continued to walk around and wander around the desert. And eventually, the person who Joshua looked up to more than anybody else, Moses, died. You've probably watched a mentor die. Maybe not watched, but had a mentor die. A parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a professor, a pastor. You might know the heartache of that person you always went to ask and bounce things off of being gone. And Joshua is told, now you're in charge. You lead these people. Now I know the Bible doesn't say this, but I think Joshua was terrified. I think Joshua wasn't entirely sure of himself. And I think that's why the book of Joshua, aptly named, starts off with God giving a message to him. I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but it said, but the messenger from God tells Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why would God have to give that message to Joshua if he was already strong and courageous? Because he wasn't. He was terrified. Moses was gone. And now it was up to Joshua to lead people through the River Jordan into a land full of giants to conquer it. What would happen if he failed? What would happen if the people left God behind and just did their own thing? I imagine we've all asked these questions. What if? In any opportunity we have to be courageous. What will happen if I do this? If I start a new career? What will happen if I quit my job and try to do this other thing? What will happen if I say to my friends, that joke is inappropriate, don't tell it anymore? And I don't laugh. What will happen if I tell this person who is not good for me that we can't be friends anymore? What if I'm the first person to say I love you? And they don't love me back? Courage always goes with vulnerability. The two are hand in hand. We can't step out there without risking falling flat on our face. But that doesn't mean we don't step out there and act courageously. If you've never heard of this person, I invite you to look her up. Brené Brown is a shame researcher, is what she calls herself. She is so much more than that, but she is a shame researcher who looks at the relationship between courage and vulnerability and how the two go together. She's written numerous books. Daring Greatly is probably where I would suggest you start. But one of the things that she says is that courage is being willing to step up when you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Courage is being willing to play the game when you don't know whether you're going to win or lose. Courage is putting yourself out there, knowing full well that sometimes when you put yourself out there, you will fall flat on your face. Just like that. Good job, Willow. This is what courage is. Knowing that sometimes we will fall, but getting back up and doing it again anyway. And so I want to tell you a little bit about what we are living with as a denomination and as a church. And as individuals, we live with fear and uncertainty every day. Every single one of us, every day. Sometimes we give in to fear and we stay in our beds. We turn on the TV pastor who's going to say nice things. Because we just don't want to get up and deal with people. Or because we can't physically get up and deal with people. Or emotionally. Sometimes when the phone rings and we look at it, thank God for caller ID, but also at the same time, why God? We see who's calling. And we have to actually think, is this a phone call that I am willing to answer right now? And we give in to fear and we don't answer. We face these challenges all the time. We go to the doctor and hope that the doctor is going to come back with good news, but doesn't always. In fact, as I'm told, the older you get, the more often you go to the doctor, and less likely you're going to get good news when the doctor comes back in the room. Am I right? I see lots of knowing nods out there. And yet we go anyway. Why? Because we want to have health and a full life, a rich life for as long as we can. So some of you are aware of what happened back in February. We had a general conference of the United Methodist Church. I got to quit bumping this thing. Let's just move it. A statement was made about where we stand as a church, and there has been some backflow on that. That is depending on your personal position. There have been a lot of conversations afterward. What's going to happen with our denomination? It could fracture, and there will be no United Methodist Church sometime in the future. Or there will be something different. The good news is for you all, you just get to find another church. Maybe that's good news. But there's a lot of uncertainty in that, isn't there? A lot of fear in that. And so to act courageously in it, we continue to be the church and do as God has called us to. Love our neighbors. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Visit the sick and imprisoned. Comfort widows and orphans. and speak out and say what we believe to be true and right. We as a church are facing a lot of uncertainty too. Those of you who haven't heard yet, Pastor CJ, oh that's me, is moving at the end of June. And Pastor Kim will be coming at the beginning of July. For some of you, that brings a lot of fear and uncertainty. Who is this person? Will she be a better pastor than Pastor CJ? Will she preach better than Pastor CJ? Will she love me better than Pastor CJ? It's not about comparing, and we shouldn't compare, but we do, don't we? Because we want to know. And in uncertain times, we tend to make up stories. And sometimes those stories make one person a hero and the other the villain. For those of you who don't know, our choir is facing some uncertain times. Mr. Doug has been wonderful and volunteered his time to play and lead our choir. But Mr. Doug isn't staying all summer. Right? Yeah. Not this year. And so our choir is facing, who's going to play the piano? Any volunteers? We deal with uncertainty all the time. And as a church, we need to be aware of what we're facing, what we're afraid of. We are afraid of not having anyone to play the music, and the choir is going to sing a cappella. Right? We are afraid of transition. We are afraid of not knowing what's going to happen. We are afraid of new and different. And it's not just here at church, is it? We're afraid of going to a new restaurant because we might not like the food that we have to pay for. We're afraid of trying a new recipe because we're afraid it won't turn out the way it's supposed to. We're afraid of a Pinterest recipe that says it's easy and never is. And so sometimes we don't do those things. We let fear win. Brothers and sisters, as we reflect on Joshua, we have just a tiny piece of his story, but even this smallest piece shows us a little bit about who he was. He was a man who was willing to act courageously, to speak up when nobody else would, to lead when he didn't feel like he was capable of leading. And if we read the story of Joshua, we read of some of the horrible things that are done in there. I mean, that is the most embarrassing book in the Bible for me because of the genocide and the slaughter that takes place in there. But Joshua leads courageously, despite the tendency of God's people wanting to go back to Israel. So I want to ask you, church, today, what are you afraid of? What fear is keeping you from living fully? What uncertainty or vulnerability are you unwilling to enter into? Because brothers and sisters, on the other side of the River Jordan is the promised land. If only you're willing to take a step into the uncertain waters to see what God might do. I want to challenge you to act with courage in that situation. To speak what you've been afraid to speak. To do what you've been afraid to do. To act. Because that takes courage. And I know not every one of us will do it. But I hope we all do. Because we are a courageous people who are about ready to celebrate a meal that is the ultimate act of courage. Sure, it's just bread and juice, but I want you to think about this. God, eternal, is born a human child and becomes vulnerable. Is born, lives, and because of that vulnerability, dies. And today when we break the bread, we'll remember Jesus' broken body. Because God had the courage to come down and dwell among us, knowing full well that he might be broken. Some would say the whole point of him coming is to be broken. We follow a courageous God who calls us to act courageously. And he promised Joshua this, I will be with you. And we hear it again from Jesus before he leaves his disciples. I will be with you. And because Jesus is with us, we can act in faith. We can act courageously. Because every time we fall, he will pick us up again. Amen. I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 12 or direct your attention to the screen as we prepare to celebrate this communion meal together, this great Thanksgiving.